Welcome to the Unscripted Podcast. I'm your host, Anna Hutchcroft, photographer, freelancer, and curious question asker. Join me for half an hour each week while I sit down with inspiring photographers and pick their brains about growing their business, authentically connecting to their clients, and being a good human in this changing industry. If you're ready to take your photography hobby to the next level and turn it into an actual business, you're in the right place. If you want to hear real life advice from professional photographers and start building the future of your dreams, don't go anywhere. Here we go. Even if you're new to the photography industry, Dawn Charles is one of those photographers who needs no introduction. You've probably come across her work from her time as an intimate wedding and couples photographer, but it's even more likely that you've been eyeing off one of her insanely popular preset packs. Having honed her eye for natural skin tones, creamy highlights, rich blacks, and lush greens, her presets have a cult-like following for a reason. Today, we dive into all things editing, and it's so refreshing to hear Dawn talk about what it was like for her when she was just starting out. From the first presets she ever bought, to how she figured out how to make her own, to all of the tips she gets asked to share about her editing process as an educator, this is an episode jam-packed with value. So settle in and don't go anywhere, because this is one that you won't want to miss. Where did you learn to edit?
So I started my whole photography journey in high school and kind of learned some technical things back like in my classes. And then I started studying photography in college and went on to get my degree in it. So I had a lot of formal training in my courses on editing, but I didn't feel like I was really learning everything that I wanted to in school. But outside of that, I started exploring shooting on my own and I really got into the editing side. Like the before and after of everything was just super fascinating to me. And so I would study people's work and just like try to figure out how they got things to look certain ways, because back then there were only like a few preset packs available. We were kind of on our own. And so I would see these other photos and like look at their tones and colors and all these things and try to just spend hours on Lightroom at home figuring out like, okay, I didn't learn exactly how to do this in school. Like what can I tweak in Lightroom to like get my greens to look like that or get my skin tones to look that creamy? And so a lot of it was self-taught with like a little bit of the like kind of intro to Lightroom happening in school, and then just like tons of hours just like studying images and seeing what I could like tweak around in Lightroom to get to like match those tones.
Wow, that's so cool. I feel like it's important to have that trial and error because it kind of helps you see what you're changing. And I feel like it's maybe a blessing in disguise that you didn't have that many preset packs available to you, because you had to sort of like hone your eye and like, you know, how each toggle affected the image in a specific way.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like if I had preset packs that were working exactly how I wanted them to, I would never take the time to actually like play around with things and learn what was actually going on in Lightroom and like happening to my photos. I would just use the preset and call it a day. But I think because I wasn't ever happy with the presets that I was purchasing, it forced me, like I knew the look that I was after. I just didn't know at first how to get there. And so I'm thankful for that too, that I was like forced to just spend time really studying what was going on in Lightroom.
Yeah, totally. And I imagine as well, you've been in photography for long enough that there have been lots of different trends and styles that have kind of come through like the preset world. Or like, I remember, you know, back in the day, everyone really liked like saturated, like contrasty kind of images. And I feel like then it's kind of like taken a little bit of a turn to like subtle and then like nostalgic and just kind of being in the game for long enough that like you've sort of, I don't know, been able to witness like the comings and goings of all these different styles, I feel like would really add to like the repertoire.
Totally. Yeah. It makes me feel old with like how many trends I've seen. But I feel like when I first started, like everyone was using Visco and the whole thing was looks like film. And it's like, are you dark and moody or light and airy? Like those were the two categories and that was it. And I just remember like the really desaturated greens or then like the very vibrant, like contrasty, like really intense contrast, dark shadows. And I thought that my work was consistent. And now looking back, I was like, oh, I've definitely fluctuated a lot, even though I've kind of maintained like a little bit of my own like touch on every trend that I've gone through. It's hard not to be affected by the trends and what you're seeing everywhere. And I think it's good to be evolving and like constantly, you know, staying up to date. But I am very relieved that the trends are going to more like natural, subtle, like true to color photos and like edits, because that's going to stand the test of time a lot more than these like really wild trends that we've seen in the past.
Yeah. Oh my God. The desaturated greens. That's so funny. Really describing a whole era at the moment.
Yes. It's so sad to look back on everything looked dead, but it was such a trend.
Yeah. Do you think you'd be able to describe your editing style? What makes your style different from other photographers?
Yeah. I think that I really had a big shift in probably like 2018, because I came out with my first preset pack in 2016. And I think I was really just kind of sucked into some of the trends. And in 2018, I remember editing a wedding and sending it off to a bride. And she said, I want you to re-edit the photos because the groom's suit was blue and it looks black in these photos. And like, that's not the color of my bridesmaids' dresses or my flowers. And at first I was offended. I was like, well, you picked me for my editing style. Like, why don't you like my editing style? This is just like a like creamy artistic look that is like making your colors slightly different. But then I had this like big wake up call of, okay, the colors that they choose for their wedding are obviously important to them. And the color of his suit should look like the color of his suit, and the color of their skin and the color of their flowers should look like what they do in real life. And so it was at that time that I actually discontinued my first like set of preset packs that I had launched in 2016 and relaunched a new pack. And from there, like went on with pack 1, 2, 3, 4. And from that time on, I was really focused on just trying to make everything true to color and make sure that whatever colors the bride and groom or whoever like was choosing these colors, they would remain the same in their photos. And I think that I knew that if I did that, then it wasn't going to be something that would go out of style. So my focus has always been to just make presets that really enhance, but keep like an earthy artistic like touch to all of the tones, but keep them looking how they do in real life, just like in a slightly more like, I don't know, earthy, magical way, which is like so whimsical way of describing it. But, and then to just like make it feel like a little creamy and like just soft with the highlights and the skin tones. And so skin tones and like colors of natural things have always been my focus. And yeah, I try to just make my photos now look timeless and like ethereal and natural. That's like my main goal.
And I feel like that's a big, it's a tall order. Like you kind of managed to like, achieve the sort of like true to color, you know, timeless look, but then also having like an artistic spin on it. I feel like that's such a fine line to achieve.
Yeah. It's taken a lot of trial and error. It's been years and years of just messing around and trying to figure it out. But I feel like I'm finally at a place that I'm happy with my edits. And they do, I mean, each year I come out with a new desktop pack. So this year we'll be coming out with pack 5. And each time I feel like I remember when I first started, I would look back on my old work like 3 months after I would shoot and I'd be like, oh my gosh, I hate those edits. It looks nothing like how I'm editing now. And I'm like, that was only 3 months ago. So now like over time that has happened less and less. And I look back on things from 3 years ago and I'm like, okay, my style has evolved slightly, but I still see my own like artistic touch on that. And I'm not like cringing at it anymore. And I'm not like, what was I thinking back then? Because I am just really focusing on having something that will be timeless. And I'm still looking to evolve and grow and keep up with, you know, current trends and styles and what people are liking and just be modern, but also like keep that timeless element always throughout each pack. So I feel like each year my style shifts slightly and evolves and hopefully gets better. And I try to incorporate that each time I make a pack of presets, but that timelessness is always something that I'm like trying to hold onto with each time I'm changing.
Yeah. I think that makes a lot of sense. Like when you think about like new photographers and how it's such a steep learning curve initially, like there's just like so much to learn and you're just like trying out all these different things. Like the fact that you would look back at your photos every 3 months and be like, that is not who I am anymore. Cause you're like constantly like defining and redefining like who you are, you know?
Right.
And so I don't know. I feel like it makes sense that the like rate of change sort of like has a bit more of like a steadiness as you sort of like settle into like who you are and what your style is as a photographer.
Totally. Yeah.
Can you tell us about like the first preset pack you ever purchased?
Yeah. So it was Visco and nice. This is probably in like 2012 or something. I remember back then they had like 5 different Visco packs and I just remember like there were so many options within the pack, but they were all very dramatic and I would pick one and then I would, this is probably why I would look back every 3 months and be like, what was I thinking? Because I would pick Kodak, whatever. And then I'm like, oh, this looks so cool on this shoe. And then the next shoe, I would have 20 other options. And I'm like, oh, actually I'm going to try Portra 400. Yeah. And so I would just hop around, or then I would hear that one of the photographers I look up to uses a different one from that pack. And so then I would try that. And then I would just like hop around a lot. And I think because there was a lot of variety within each pack, it was not consistent. Whereas if you're hopping around within like a preset pack from a specific artist, it's usually a little more consistent. So yeah, I feel like because of that, I was a little overwhelmed. It was a great starting place because I didn't know much about creating my own presets at the time. And I think it was helpful for learning what different presets did and like how to have a starting place with editing. But it was like a little overwhelming having so many different options and like such a wide range of styles offered.
Yeah.
When I didn't know like what I was looking for at the time.
Yeah, totally. Did Visco just start as like a phone app and then did they, or was it the other way around? They like have preset packs honestly, and then they made it for phone.
Yeah. I think it might've been the other way around. I think it started as preset packs, but I'm honestly not positive because then I at least started with their preset packs for Lightroom and then I used their app for a while, but I think it started as preset packs. I don't know like what their backstory is, but I just remember they would kind of come out with a new pack every year and I remember everyone would buy it and then you have like 20, 30 more preset options. And just, I feel like my style was always changing because of that. And each time a new pack came out, I'm like, all right, time to change my style again. So I just never knew like what I wanted or like how to adjust them at the time. So
yeah. Like your style was just like defined by like what the new
totally preset was. Yes, exactly.
But then you kind of started to like, you know, want to create your own. I'm curious about that journey. Like, you know, how did you go from sort of being the person that like edits with a new Visco preset pack to just sort of like being this like preset, like what was the journey like from when you started creating your own and now you're like such a big name in like the preset world? Sorry to like embarrass you by saying that.
No, thank you. When I first bought them, like I said, I just wasn't ever completely satisfied with my edits. And I think the combination of just looking back on my work and being like, wow, I really don't know exactly what my style is. And I don't know who I am yet as an artist. And then taking the courses in college and really learning the back end of Lightroom and starting to learn like what is actually happening on the back end, I started to just combine that knowledge with my desire for consistency and honing in my own style. And around that time, I started getting asked to shoot weddings and senior photos. I was in college at the time. And so I was shooting a lot of like seniors who were graduating and people who started getting engaged. And I also got an internship with a wedding photographer at the time. So I was like, okay, people are starting to take me seriously. I'm starting to actually charge people for my work. I need to like figure out what my style is. Cause I feel like I'm a big fan of consistency, and I knew that I needed to nail that before I could really like take myself seriously as an artist. So I just spent so much time really studying the images, whether they were film or another photographer, or even just like random photos that I would find on Pinterest or whatever. I'm like, okay, I love the greens in this photo, or I love the skin tones in this one. And I would just spend like hours and hours. And sometimes it was in line with my projects for school. I would just spend extra time on the editing portion of that. And sometimes it was just for fun. Like I would go out and shoot my roommate and then come home just to edit them, because the editing part was like the most intriguing part to me. And I feel like over the course of probably years, I started to just fine tune those, what started as VSCO presets. And then I would kind of be like, okay, here, I figured out how to do the skin tone, so I'm going to change that part. And then I figured out how to like get the greens how I want them, so I'm going to change that part and just create like new presets out of those. And then I just figured out how to start from scratch and create my own that were like 100% my unique style and taste, and then evolve my own presets from there and just tweak them over time. And eventually people started asking me about my editing, because it wasn't like everyone else's, because I wasn't using VSCO. Like at the time, there weren't a lot of photographers selling presets at all. Like there were a couple other artists that I knew of that had presets for sale, but other than that, it was VSCO and Mastin Labs, and that was pretty much it. So it was kind of obvious when people were using VSCO and Mastin Labs. So I think like my work stood out because I wasn't anymore. And so people would ask me all the time about my editing, and I realized, okay, this is something that people are interested in, and obviously it's standing out, and I have knowledge about this because I've had formal education on it and just like spent so much time like being a perfectionist over it. And that's kind of what sparked my interest in selling presets.
That's so cool. And like that you just kind of went up against like VSCO and Mastin. Like it's like this like college girl that's like, I just want to do my different thing, and everyone
I'll give
else,
you a run for your money. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that.
So it's funny.
Very, I've like never David and Goliath story.
I know. I've never thought about it like that. That's so funny.
So when do you think newbie photographers should start investing in presets?
I honestly think that it's something that is good to invest in right off the bat, because editing is a huge part of the art of photography. And if you don't have any prior editing knowledge, then it's really hard to just whip up an edit from scratch. Like you can know how to like increase the brightness and saturation and all of that, but to really get the nuanced tones and colors and split toning and grain and all of those little like fine details that really make up the like overall look of a photo, it's hard to just come up with that. Like if I sat down right now and tried to edit a wedding from scratch without using my own presets, it would take me a really long time to get that photo to where I want it to be, because so much time and tweaking and testing on different camera bodies and types of photos and lighting and, you know, colors and every skin tones has gone into making that preset. And so in order to save yourself time and just to have a great starting place to learn from, I think it's really important to start with presets like right away. And don't necessarily just think of that as one click and you're done. I think it's great to use those presets as a starting point. And sometimes it is one click and that's awesome, but there are times that you're going to need to tweak things, and hopefully it's not a lot of things, but it's good to spend some time messing around in there and learning like, okay, when I click this preset, I like this one the best out of the pack. So why do I like that? I'm going to click the other one and see how the settings are different and see why I am more drawn to the one that I am. And okay, I'm noticing that the one that I'm more drawn to has like warm shadows, and the one that I don't really like has a higher saturation. So just learning things like that and then taking those preferences in when you're editing and when you're trying out other presets or you're tweaking things can be really helpful. And if you'd never started with presets in the first place, it would be really hard to learn like what is actually going on to make the photos look the way that they do.
Yeah, I love that. So it is like a thing of that presets help you figure out what your preferences are.
Yeah, totally.
And like, what do you just like look at all of the different settings, or I guess you have your own now, but like when you were first starting out and like buying other people's presets, like I know that you said you sort of started creating your own pretty early on, but I guess what would your advice be to sort of new photographers who are like buying preset packs or kind of wanting to learn from the different settings that you would get from a preset pack? Like, do you just go through like all the different things that are changed and just kind of like move the toggle around and see how it changes the image, or where do you start?
Yeah, kind of. I include an editing tutorial with all of my packs because I want people to be educated on how to adjust them. And I don't want them to feel lost. If they don't have experience editing, like they just have to use whatever is there and not have the opportunity to make it their own or fix things that need fixing. So in my tutorials, I walk people through like, here are some common issues that people might run into when editing. Like if your skin tones look too orange, here's some things you can do. And I kind of show the basics of how different sliders work. Like a lot of times if your photo looks too intense, you might want to take the contrast down below zero. Or if the shadows look really warm, then here's how to use split toning to kind of tone that down or make the shadows a different tone. If you don't like the grain, here's how to take that out. Little things like that.
That's awesome.
I feel like, yeah, I try to give people the basics of, I don't go through necessarily every slider in my tutorials that come with the preset packs, but it's a good like 30 minutes of just walking people through different types of photos and what it looks like to apply the preset on there and then change different things that tend to come up for different types of photos.
That's such a gift. That's like such a nice thing to give people when they, yeah, when they buy your presets. I really like that.
Thanks.
And what role would you think that like editing plays in setting photographers apart from like other people in the industry? Like, how does it help sort of them define their voice? And like, how is editing like a part of your own creative process?
I think editing is like almost 50% of the art of photography. And I've seen it a lot at workshops and like group styled shoots where people are taking the exact same photo. They're standing right next to each other. They're in the same lighting. They might be using the same camera. They have the same exact subject in front of them, but then we go home and edit and their work looks completely different and they're attracting different styles. They're attracting different types of clients. And the way that they edit it really gives like a mood to the photos where I feel like if they were just to deliver a raw image, it would be hard to set yourself apart because a lot of what our cameras see are very similar. And obviously you put your own flair on things when you are shooting, whether, you know, you're using direct sunlight or backlight or how you, you know, position yourself with the subject, but the colors and tones and just cropping and all of that, those design choices that we add in post really like set the style of the photo apart. And I think really kind of attract certain types of clients based off of how you edit.
Yeah. I feel like I see that a lot in like your sort of like Instagram feed where like you'll be showing like such a wide variety of work, but there's like something so, so cohesive about it. And I feel like it might have something to do with like the way that you edit, but also like how you consider like planning. Like, would you be able to talk us through a little bit about like how you sort of like create this like beautiful like flow and like how color and editing and stuff comes into it?
Yeah. Like laying out my Instagram feed has always been, I don't know if I have OCD tendencies or what it is, but I've just always with editing and with my Instagram feed been very picky and just very detail oriented with both of those things. And I kind of think of it like a puzzle, because when people come to your page, and it's usually potential followers that are coming to look at your page as a whole. Otherwise, if they're following you, a lot of times they're just seeing your single image in their feed as they're scrolling. But potential followers, which you are hoping to capture and have them hit follow, are looking at your profile as a grid. And so you want to think about how those photos all work together and not just think about each photo individually. And I do think that Instagram is shifting away from this a little bit and becoming a little less curated, which is hard for me as I'm trying to just go with that and be like, I'm not going to care what my feed looks like, but it's hard for me. I'm still, even when I say I don't care, I still notice myself like going back to actually caring.
I just wish it would stop changing. Like, I'm just over all of the ways that I'm just like, can you just pick a thing and like stick with
seriously,
it?
Seriously,
like, sick of trying to keep up with the bloody algorithm.
Same. And it's trying to be Snapchat, and then it's trying to be TikTok. And it's just, yeah, it's hard to keep up for sure. When it was very photo based, I felt like I was killing it and I knew what I was doing. And now I'm like, I have to create reels and I just don't know if I can keep up. But yeah. I basically, in order to create my feed to look cohesive, I use an app called Later, but there's a bunch of apps like Preview and Planoly and Unum and all of those where you can lay out your feed beforehand and then publish things after you have like chosen how they will be laid out and scheduled. And like I said, I think of it like a puzzle. So I'm thinking about how your eye moves around that grid of 9 or 12 photos. And I like to leave a lot of negative space so that it's not too overwhelming to look at 12 photos at one time. So that is important to me, where it feels like calm and that your eyes have a chance to breathe and the photos have a chance to breathe. And I switch up things like colors and landscapes and subjects and my distance of myself to the subject and how they're posed and positioned. So I think about all of those. I have like my go-to color palette and I have my go-to like handful of compositions and things like that. But then I break them up and space them out so that they aren't just clumped together and you kind of, your eye seamlessly moves so that I'm thinking about composition with those 12 photos or 9 photos or however you're looking at the grid. I'm thinking about how all of those are composed as well as how each photo is composed, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. It sounds like you've got this, like, in my head, the way that I picture, like the way that you work it out, it's this like Venn diagram of like near, yeah, far, color,
totally,
people. And it's like the whatever meets in the middle is like the thing that you put up next. And I feel like it's just like, I don't know, even if you weren't using Instagram, just being able to look at your body of work with like that kind of eye would change the way that you shoot, I reckon. Like just kind of like being able to look at your whole body of work and being like, is this how I mostly tend to capture things? And do I want to try something different? Like, I feel like it's just like a nice way to review the kind of work that you already have anyway.
Right.
This podcast is brought to you by the Unscripted Posing app, the one-stop shop photography app for photographers looking to up their posing game, streamline their business, and look and feel like a professional. With Unscripted, you'll confidently rock every shoot, capture those emotion-filled images you've been craving, and create a fun photoshoot experience for everyone, including you. Join over 200,000 photographers and search Unscripted in your app store now.
I really tried to focus on just getting both the landscape and the client's emotion and like close, intimate moments, and kind of step away from that standard comfortable like 3 to 5 feet away. Like, sure, I get some of those sometimes too, but I knew that I really wanted to photograph a lot of variety, whether that was changing my angle to the subject and like getting on the ground or like getting above them or getting way back and getting a wide shot or way up to like uncomfortably close. And it made my gallery so much more dynamic. And then it gave me so much more content to use, because if I'm like a foot away from my clients' faces or I'm 50 feet away from them shooting a wide shot, you can't necessarily tell that that's from the same shoot. And so I feel like it gave me a lot more content to use in my portfolio and just helped my feed look more dynamic and like a lot of variety, and that I was capable of doing different types of like art and not just you know, shooting from the waist up.
On every client. Totally. And I imagine the way that it impacts your sessions as well is really cool, because it kind of has these moments where you're like really up close and intimate with them, but then like you kind of give them space as well by like stepping back and like including more of the landscape. Like if I was a client, like that would make me feel comfortable if like I had moments of like, you know, feeling intimately connected, and then also moments where I was able to kind of like catch my breath and
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. This is like a little bit of a pivot, kind of talking about editing again, but you know, I feel like I've seen like a lot of a trend of like people sort of like in pursuit of this, like sort of like nostalgic, like vintage vibe. And often like through photos, this is like achieved by making them kind of look like film, where like you add a bit of grain or there's some kind of like edit. And I guess I kind of wanted to like nerd out with you a little bit about like, what is it like technically that like makes film look like film? And like, what do you adjust in Lightroom? Like aside from just like putting a bit of film grain on, like to achieve like a filmy look.
Yeah. I wish that I could get exactly how film looks in Lightroom. I feel like so hard to achieve an actual film look. And I know that there's always been the phrase looks like film or like filmy presets. And it's funny because looking back with so many of those photos that were claimed to looks like film and all of that don't look anything like film. Yeah. But I think what it is, I mean, a lot of what I try to do when I'm editing and trying to get like a filmy nostalgic look has a lot to do with the tone curve and the grain and split toning. I try to make the edits really soft and with like soft highlights and some soft, like matted shadows a little bit, and but nothing too extreme. I think a lot of times when people are trying to get a really nostalgic look or filmy look, they tend to go very heavy-handed on those things and do tons of grain and like crazy crushed highlights and all these things. But I think film is very like effortless and soft and approachable and timeless. And so I try to do everything very subtly, but I will often study different film photography and see like what color are their shadows. And obviously that changes for different types of film, like Kodak and Portra, and all of those have different like color profiles to them.
Yeah.
But so I think it's just kind of trial and error. And I think the skin tones and the greens have a lot to do with it. So just making like very soft, creamy skin tones. And I think usually with film, they tend to be a little less red and a little more on the like olivey yellow side. Yeah, like I said, the highlights are usually really soft and creamy. I feel like there's a lot of greens that are really important in film, and usually they're a little on the more vibrant side in film. So those like totally desaturated greens wouldn't necessarily achieve that. And yeah, the colors with the split toning are really important too. So sometimes I play around with having cool highlights and warm shadows. And then sometimes I try cool shadows and just kind of like mess around with different combinations of things to see what I can do to achieve the look that I'm going for. But yeah, I mean, there's nothing quite like actual film, but I think there are some different elements that we can incorporate and be inspired from film and incorporate that into Lightroom.
Yeah, definitely. I was actually getting some photos developed at this lab the other day, and she asked me, the lady behind the counter, I was like, so when these are done, do you want me to just send you a Dropbox link and throw away the negatives? And I was like, what? Like, I was aghast. Like, I was like, is this something that people ever say yes to? And she's like, yeah, you'd be surprised. Like, it's so interesting because it's almost like people just want that look, but then just want the digital photos. But like, you, like, I don't know. Just,
I know, sad, right?
It's so sad and shocking.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. So can you talk us a little bit through like your editing workflow, like from when you get home from a shoot and like when you deliver the photos, like, yeah, just like, how does that process work for you?
Sure. Yeah. So I have become very much a stickler about how I back up my photos because I have had close calls with losing images and I've had friends who have lost entire weddings. And so I am like just super on top of backing up everything. So when I come home, I upload all of my cards to my external hard drive and I will label them in a folder with a client's name. And then I will copy that folder onto a second external hard drive so that they're in two places. And I guess they're actually in four places at that point because I dual shoot. So I have them on two separate memory cards and then two separate external hard drives. And then I take those cards, put them in an envelope and put them in a fireproof safe in my office just in case, you know, my computer melts to the ground.
Oh my God.
Then, which sounds extreme, but it was like a $20 safe on Amazon. So it's not a huge deal, but worth the extra, you know, peace of mind.
Yeah.
And so then those photos don't get erased off those memory cards until my clients have their edited images. And then I will take all of those photos and cull through them before I ever start editing. And it's always like, it always takes a lot of discipline because I always want to jump straight to editing just because that part is so exciting to me. And even when I'm shooting, I'm already getting excited about editing the photos. And I like don't love editing after it's been like 8 hours I've spent with a gallery, but I love the initial like pulling everything in and like trying out like my presets and being like, okay, look how cool this one looks on this photo and stuff like that. So that's the part that gets exciting to me, not like the, you know, monotonous going through the gallery on your like thousandth image and still going. But
yeah, I was about to say like,
I don't love that much. But yeah, the initial like tweaking it each preset for my client. Anyways, I'll get to that. So I cull through all of them in narrative select, and then I will bring all of those selected images into Lightroom, create a new collection for that client. And then I will go to one of the photos that is like the easiest to edit kind of. So like if we were outside in the shade or it was a cloudy day and I took a portrait of the couple so that I can get both of their skin tones in it and have some like easy to work with lighting to get my base preset for them. And I'll basically go through usually whatever my most recent preset pack is. So like right now pack four, and I'll toggle through each one of those and see which one works the best with that day, their colors, their skin tones, that lighting. And I'll pick one of those as a base for them. And then I'll make tiny adjustments to make it specific to that specific shoot. So I'll maybe tweak their skin tones a tiny bit, or if the suit was blue and it's pulling a little bit purple, I'll adjust that. Or if they had tons of green or like really harsh light or something, I'll make little adjustments to those things and then save a new preset with my client's name. And then I'll just start at the beginning and I just go through. Sometimes I'll go through and select maybe 10, 15 photos that are like highlight images from the day to send them as sneak peeks. So I'll start by editing just those and I'll edit through all of those, which kind of gives me a good baseline for different sections of the day because I try to grab portraits from, you know, the first look and after the ceremony and at sunset. And so then when I'm going back and editing, I can kind of take those edits and copy them over to other photos in that portion of the day. But then I'll just kind of start at the beginning and go through and use that base preset. But a lot of times it's going to need a little bit of adjustment when I'm doing getting ready photos and then when we're switching to the ceremony. But it's a great starting point for me. And yeah, I'll basically edit one photo, go to the next one, click previous, and then it will copy over my edits. And then I'll just keep going and doing the same thing throughout the whole gallery.
Yeah. So you touch every photo, like you don't just like, every photo is like sort of has had attention from you.
Totally. And I think that's why editing takes me longer than most, but it's because it's so important to me and it's like such a huge part of the process for me that I like take my time with every single one.
Yeah, I feel like that's important. I feel like it's kind of, I don't know. Like, I get that everything's sort of like really convenient and fast these days, but I still think that like when you're delivering a product to someone, it's like important that you sort of are knowing what you're giving them, like across the board.
Totally. Yeah, for sure.
What are some editing questions or tips that you often get asked to share?
A lot of times it's skin tones, greens. Those would probably be the two biggest ones. Yeah, I would say I get asked a lot about adjusting if the skin looks too orange or too saturated or washed out. So we'll go over that a lot. And then greens, I feel like, comes down a lot to whatever that specific photographer's style and preference is. So sometimes people want to have really subtle muted greens, and sometimes people want them to be really rich and earthy or vibrant and bright or more blue green or more yellow green. So just a lot of that comes down to the HSL sliders, and I will mess around with those and kind of coach people through like which ones to use for adjusting skin and adjusting greens, adjusting a lot of times whites will pull. Like if there's a wedding dress that's white and it has like a blue cast on it or something like that, like getting your whites to be a true white. So yeah, mostly like a lot of that comes down to adjusting the hue, saturation, and luminance sliders.
And so if your skin tones are really orange, like what do you do?
So I would start a lot of times decreasing the contrast of the entire image helps with intense skin tones, because a lot of times the contrast will make the shadows really bold. And a lot of times those shadows have a lot of orange in them from the skin tones. And so decreasing that contrast will just kind of soften everything. So I think it's a great place to start. I always try to just start with all of my edits in the basic panel just to make sure that the like foundation of my photo is edited properly before I get into tweaking the little fine-tune adjustments. So I will make sure first, like, is your temperature and white balance correct? Because that can affect skin tone. So make sure that the whole image is properly white balanced, and then make sure your contrast isn't too high. And then also having your saturation lower and your vibrance higher helps, because saturation is pulling up the intensity of all the colors in the image, whereas vibrance is just enhancing the more like subdued colors. And so vibrance is going to be a lot more forgiving on skin tones. So a lot of times my saturation is in the negatives and my vibrance is in the positives. So if you feel like your whole photo is a little intense, then bringing the saturation down and then compensating with the vibrance, if it's looking a little washed out, will help. But then the main area that I focus on with skin tones is in the red, orange, and yellow sliders in HSL. So I will usually start by decreasing the orange slider. If they're looking too orange, I'm decreasing the saturation of orange in hue, saturation, luminance sliders. And then if it's looking too muddy or like dull, then I will increase the luminance of the orange. And if it's looking off, like maybe too red or too yellow, then I will change the hue from either more red to more yellow or vice versa, depending on, you know, what it needs. But a lot of that happens in the orange sliders. Yeah. And if I'm finding those aren't really fixing them, then it could be that I need to adjust the red, or usually red, sometimes yellow sliders. And if I still can't figure it out, then I'll use the little dropper tool within the HSL sliders where I can just drop it over their skin and it will pick up whatever tones are there. And then I can adjust that up and down based off of what it needs.
You need to make a flow chart for this. I feel like there's so many where it's like, if it's this, then this, then this. And it's like, you can really tell that like you've sat with all of this and you kind of like know the process. And I feel like, you know, it's really helpful to hear you kind of talk about this, because a lot of times, you know, when you're just starting out, you're not entirely sure, like, okay, I'm just pull the saturation down, but now it looks flat and their skin looks not orange, but everything else in the image looks weird. And so being able to find these other points of counterbalance
Yeah, it is a huge like balancing act for sure, because one thing will affect another and you don't know if you've gone too far with one and if you're adjusting the right thing. So it does take a lot of messing around and trial and error, and just, I would say, like, do everything in very small increments, because it tends to work better than just going too far with one slider. And then you're like, wow, now I don't even know where I started. I need to start over. And so, yeah, just making like tiny fine tune adjustments. And if you do something and you hate how it looks, then command Z that, and then it will undo it and just, you know, go on to the next. So,
How do you cleanse your palette of the art? Like, you know, sometimes when you're like looking at an image for a really long time, and after a while you're like, I don't even know what a normal image looks like. Like, how do you like refresh that? Cause sometimes you just go cross-eyed being in the editing suite for like, you know, 6-8 hours at a time, and you don't even know what colors you're looking at anymore.
Like, right. Yeah, totally. A few things. I try not to edit in artificial lighting. So a lot of times I'm just editing during daylight, and I will notice that if I'm editing in my office late at night, my colors tend to be off because my eyes are tricked by the warm light from my lights above my office. And if I do, sometimes, I mean, that's my only option, or for some people, that's the only time they get to edit. And so I will just make sure that before I deliver my gallery, I'm looking at it in multiple types of lighting and not just like cranking it all out and then delivering it at 2 a.m. You know, I want to like come back to it at least one or two times to make sure that my eyes weren't going crazy from other light sources. And then I don't let myself, or I guess I don't have the patience to sit there and edit for super long. So usually I'll only edit for a couple hours a day and then work on other things. And I'm not shooting as much as I used to. So editing is a small portion of what I do now. Mm-hmm. So I'm not spending all day editing. And I do find that that's helpful because my eyes really do like play tricks on myself, and I can lose track of like what things look like and how they should look. Yeah. And so I think just giving yourself a break and walking away or looking at something else or getting outside can be really helpful, because it can be easy to just go down a rabbit hole and then come back and be like, what was I thinking?
Yeah.
And then something that is really easy that I consistently do while I'm editing is I will pull up the original image next to the image I'm editing and just have them side by side and just make sure that they aren't like, my edits aren't too far off from the original and I'm not getting crazy with skin tones or like this new experimental thing I'm trying. Mm-hmm. I'll make sure like, okay, does this actually look like her skin? Does this actually look like her hair color? And just keep that as a reference point. And obviously I want to see a difference between the original and my edits, because that's the whole point of editing. But I want to just make sure like my eyes haven't gone too crazy by like, now I'm her shirt is purple and before it was blue, you know?
Yeah, totally. Totally. That's such a nice, like, yeah, such a nice tip to just have that like point of reference, so you're not going down this total rabbit hole, which is actually really easy to do.
Totally. It's so easy.
What are some things that, like, I don't know, when editing like blue hour or like golden hour, I feel like the lighting scenarios in those sort of magic times of day are quite different to, like, you know, if you say like you do a lot of the editing during the day and you're kind of comparing it to this, yeah, like ethereal or like fleeting time in the day where everything looks really, really blue or everything looks really, really golden. Like, obviously you want to keep some of the vibe of that because that's kind of why you shoot during that time of day. But like, yeah, what are some things that you sort of, or are there any things that you kind of keep in mind when you're editing blue hour or golden hour specifically?
Yeah, I really try to focus on skin tones, especially in blue hour, because they can pull a lot of the blue and look really off, and it can be easy for your subject to like start looking dead and lifeless, you know, like if there's not any like warmth to their skin. And I think it's hard to find that balance because you don't want their skin to be looking how it would in normal lighting, because it's not normal lighting. So you don't want to create something artificial, but to just go back and forth with the balance of like helping boost their skin tone, but also playing up the blue hour. And then with golden hour, I think that is a little easier to manage, but I don't want the goldenness of it to overtake the image. I like love golden images and lots of warm light, but I also don't want the whole image to just be like one warm tone. I want to still have nuances of different colors and like maintain their skin tone and maintain the colors of their outfits and stuff. So usually that comes down to HSL sliders again. And sometimes I'm using selective editing. So I might use a brush to brush on more blue tone to the sky when I'm trying to enhance blue hour, but then keep their faces a little more warm. Or I might lighten them so that the sky can keep that like dark blue look, but I can still see my subjects. So brushes can come in really handy when the lighting can be tricky and you're trying to like play up the elements, but also keep your subjects looking how you want them to.
So do you shoot kind of underexposed a little bit during blue hour and then go back in and like bring it up a little bit in post, or do you kind of,
Yeah, I always tend to shoot a tiny bit underexposed. I used to shoot more underexposed when it was common to have like the dark and moody look, but yeah. I tend to just be either like spot on with exposure or a little bit under to save the highlights. And it tends to be easier to edit when your image is underexposed rather than overexposed. So I think I'm mostly just protecting myself from having overexposed images by doing that. And it's a lot easier to bring up the shadows and gain that detail back in the shadows than it is to bring down the highlights and have it look natural, because the skin tones and highlights and sky and everything tend to just look really blown out or artificial when they're overexposed and then you're bringing them back down.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. That makes sense. Oh man, I feel like this has been such a good, like little like geeky editing episode.
I know, it's so like, nerdy.
It's really, I really am into it. I feel like it's kind of good, like getting into the sort of like the finer details of, you know, and I, like I said, I think you like a flowchart would be.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely leaning into the geekiness of it, but I really like, it's just like, there's so much information to kind of digest. And I know you put up a lot of really amazing sort of videos on your Instagram about like, yeah, like kind of some of the stuff we've already spoken about, like selective editing or like editing the greens or getting the skin tones right. But you also have a bunch of amazing education and mentorship programs. Can you tell us a little bit about those and yeah, what you love about teaching them?
Yeah, I got into teaching because of that internship that I had when I was in college, and I just learned so much from that I probably would have never learned on my own, or it would have taken me so much longer to get there. And even though I had a degree in photography, I felt lost when it came to running a business side of everything or interacting with clients. So I always just felt this urge to pay it forward. And I thought, like, if I have this knowledge and I can help someone the way that the wedding photographer I interned for helped me, then like, why would I hold that back? So I just have always had this passion for helping other photographers and sharing what I've learned. And I feel like I've had a wide variety of backgrounds and education and experiences that I'm able to just kind of consolidate into online education. And it has really just been an incredible transition for me from shooting weddings full time to now mostly just focusing on the education side. And it's been not only amazing for just like my passion of helping other photographers, but it's also been great for being able to create a consistent schedule and be home with my kids more and just have like flexibility. So yeah, I've been doing my main thing. It started as just like an online shop, and it started with just presets and then kind of evolved. I wanted to make sure that people were knowledgeable when using the presets and that they had the basics of shooting down before they use the presets. Cause I would have sometimes people come to me and say, I don't like know how to use these presets in a way that gets my photos to look like yours. Like, how do you achieve this look? And so I realized that a lot of people were missing the foundational side of things. And so yeah. I came out with a camera settings guide that was telling people like, make sure you're shooting in RAW. And like, here are some tips for nailing exposure and shooting in manual and all these things so that you like have a great image to start with before you just like slap on a preset and hope that it works on a overexposed blurry image. Yeah. So that kind of sparked my transition into doing courses and online resources. And then I came out with Rise Photo Academy 2 years ago. We like just had our 2 year anniversary, and it's a membership based program where I have a whole library of courses, and I've referred to it kind of like a Netflix for photographers, because you can just get a membership. And then once you have that, you have access to all of the courses that I've basically ever created, and you can pick and choose like which ones you need at the time or what sounds interesting. And you can watch all of them. You can go at your own pace and you can rewatch things. And there's also supplemental materials like workbooks and a Facebook group. And we do live coaching calls and members weeks every quarter. And there's the library is always growing. So we're adding a new course every quarter. So that has been just really cool to start that community and pour into people and kind of be alongside of them on like a consistent basis as they grow and journey through their photography business. And yeah, so that's like what my main focus is on now. Yeah. And inside that, we have the editing course, which is basically like a very extended version of what I was mentioning comes with the preset packs, but it's like an 11 module editing course that takes people through my entire editing process and like how I tweak every little single thing and like what every slider in Lightroom does. So it's very nerdy and extensive, but I think very helpful if you're kind of lost when it comes to editing.
Yeah, definitely. Gosh, that's huge. I feel like, yeah, even if you did graduate, you know, with an education in photography, as you say, you know, like it was your experience, like it's common to still have so many questions at the end of it and not really know like how to put these things into practice. And it just, yeah, your course sounds huge and also so valuable because you're able to kind of like revisit things. It's like this resource that you can just like have, and you get access to this community of people who are also kind of like trying to figure it out
at yeah,
the same time. Totally. I feel like that's so important because, yeah, I don't know. I feel like the community of freelancers is unique in that everyone's kind of like out there on their own, but really, really benefits from having that community to tap into.
Yeah, I've always been a big fan of the photography community, and I feel like I've only seen my business grow when I lean into the community and partnering with other photographers. And so I'm a huge proponent for community over competition. As cliche as it sounds, I feel like it's so valuable to connect with other people in the industry.
Yeah, I think it's cliche because it's true.
Yeah, totally.
So what else can we expect to see from you this year?
So like I said, I come out with a new course every quarter for Rise, and we just came out with our client experience course, and we'll have two more later this year. And then I'm launching pack 5 of my desktop presets. So that's probably the most relevant thing that I have coming up, and my preset packs are always my biggest launch. So that I believe will be happening this fall. And I've been slowly working on just fine-tuning those presets and testing them out. And I'm really excited for that because it's been probably a year and a half since my last desktop launch. So I know that that's one of my more highly anticipated products, and I'm really excited to share that.
Can you give us any clues as to like what that preset pack is going to look like? Yeah. What's the personality of it?
Yeah. Kind of inspired by my last pack, as they kind of always are. They always are evolving from the previous one, but my last one really focused on the timelessness and like effortlessness of the, you know, editing and how I can maintain all those true colors. And so I'm still trying to do that and have that be a big element of this one. But this one is a little more filmy and soft and like clean and just like easy to use on whether it's a studio session or a wedding or anything like that. Just, I really want it to be very effortless and timeless and with like a hint of nostalgia and filminess. So hopefully that's what it ends up looking like to everyone else.
I'm sure it'll be beautiful. Is there anything I haven't asked you yet that you'd like to talk about?
I don't think so. I think we covered it. That was like a great deep dive into editing. I feel like I haven't done that in a long time. So
no, thank you for letting me pick your brains. It was so awesome having you on.
Of course. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. This is so fun.
Okay. So that was a lot, but no matter where you are in your editing journey, these tips from Dawn are sure to give you a little nudge towards editing with confidence and finding your own signature style. There's a lot to digest, but here are some key takeaways to wrap up the episode. Remember how she was talking about backing up all of her photos? So obviously you're going to find the right way to do that for yourself. But once you've done all of that and you've done the cull and you've uploaded them into Lightroom, try finding the easiest shot to edit out of your selects. Then apply the desired preset to that one and make adjustments to suit the specific session. Then save these adjustments as a new preset with the name of the session and apply in batches to the rest of the images, making small tweaks for each one. Another thing she spoke about was how to refresh your eyes during the editing process. She said that you should take little breaks, walk around outside, maybe edit during the day, and pull up the original photograph to edit next to the one that you're currently editing. To figure out your own personal editing style, study photographs you love and try and figure out what it is about them that you love. Do you like warmer tones? What do the highlights and the shadows look like? Does it emulate real life or does it take more artistic liberties? The answer to these questions is sort of the beginning of you trying to figure out what style you like to edit in. And look, there's so much to learn when you're first starting out, but getting your head around editing is a really great way to achieve a cohesive look across all your photographs. Share this episode with someone who might need to hear it. And don't forget to check out the show notes for a discount code and details on where you can find Dawn's educational offerings. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next time. This podcast was created on the unceded land of the Bundjalung people, and we pay our respects to elders past, emerging, and present.